Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. What a great chorus that is. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, marvelous grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. We'll certainly talk about that grace tonight. 10 weeks ago, we celebrated the birth of a baby, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Angels sang about the birth. Shepherds flocked to the manger. Wise men sought and found him. Conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, Jesus came to save his people from their sin. And in response, we all sang, "Joy, joy to the world, the Lord has come." And that's how it's to be whenever a baby is born. It's a happy, joy-filled occasion, a cause for great celebration. But tonight we begin a Lenten journey with Joseph. And the beginning of this journey is utterly joyless. Joseph's mother, Rachel, wasn't yet a mother. And it appeared that she might never be a mother. Babies were being born right and left, but not for Rachel. You remember Rachel, I'm sure. It was love at first sight when Joseph first spied the beautiful young shepherdess watering her father's flock. Jacob worked for 7 years for Rachel's hand in marriage, only to be deceived by his father-in-law, Laban, into marrying Rachel's sister, Leah. Well, Jacob got to marry Rachel, we know, but at the cost of another 7 years of labor. Side note, this is not a divine endorsement for polygamy. These were certainly different days. What the Bible describes, I always say, is not necessarily God's prescription for marriage, especially. Well, Jacob and Rachel were finally together as husband and wife. First came love, then eventually came marriage. But sadly, there were no babies in Rachel's baby carriage. Her sister, Leah, had babies and lots of them. 6 sons and 1 daughter. In addition, Rachel's maidservant and Leah's maidservant each had 2 more sons for Jacob. So eventually, 11 babies had been born to Jacob through 3 separate women before even one was born to Rachel. Needless to say that these births brought no joy to Rachel. In fact, these births were the source of strife and jealousy for Rachel. Imagine, each newborn's first cry of life caused a toxic mix of anger and sorrow. Each and every baby not born to her was a bitter reminder to beautiful Rachel of her barrenness, a terrible token of what she didn't have, namely her own child to hold. Rachel's childlessness was more than just a procreation problem. It was a spiritual problem, a faith problem. Children, as you know, are a gift of God. And Rachel hadn't received that gift. So it was a source of shame and emotional distress. Did it signal the Lord's displeasure with her? Or was the Lord testing her? Why did her most heartfelt prayers seem to go unanswered? Why did she feel so forsaken by the Lord? So Rachel did what many of us do. She took the matters into her own hands. Rachel herself gave her maid to Jacob, thinking that her maid, Bilhah, could have children whom Rachel could count as her own. Now this is where our lives intersect with Rachel's life. Some among us may struggle with infertility and know the heartbreak that can bring, but we all struggle with faith. You don't have to be in the business of childbirth to share in the sin of Rachel and Jacob. We all know how painful it can be when heartfelt prayers go unanswered. We all know how endless the wait can seem for those who wait upon the Lord when the hope-filled healing doesn't come. We all know the tragic progression from sadness to bitterness, from bitterness to anger, and from anger to despair. In desperation, we might take matters into our own hands. We stitch together our own sinful solutions, setting God's will aside to secure the relief we crave. We would rather ignore God's will than wait for the Lord. And in the end, we are often left with a sin-filled situation like Rachel's. A dysfunctional debacle fueled by faithless desperation. But two words from tonight changed everything. God remembered. God remembered Rachel. When all hope had dried up and faith was just barely flickering in her heart, God remembered. God listened to her and opened up her womb. She conceived and bore a son, and not just any son. That birth was the genesis of Joseph, the beginning of a journey that would ultimately deliver God's people and point all the way to Jesus. God remembered Rachel. But in the vocabulary of the Bible, remembering is more than mere recollection. When God remembers, He acts. He intervenes. And this is all grace. For tonight, we see how God acts and works, not just for the well-behaved who wait patiently in faith. God remembered Rachel in her shameful striving. God remembered Rachel in her sin and desperation. God remembers those who feel forgotten and forsaken. Why? Joel tells us, as we heard earlier in the liturgy, because He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. God, yes, remembered Rachel, and she gave birth to a son, and she joyfully named the boy Joseph. That son signaled the end of Rachel's shame and desperation. Joseph, his name, was a reminder of God's remembrance and Rachel's deliverance. The name Joseph, you might remember from Sunday school days, means may he add. May he add. And choosing that name was a confession of faith and a prayer of hope. In joyful expectation, Rachel exclaimed, may the Lord add to me another son. Another son is why you have come here on this day of ashes and repentance. God remembered Rachel with Joseph, but God has remembered you with another son, His only beloved son, Jesus. When God remembers, He takes action. And God has acted definitively for you in the person of His Son. In that Son is the end of your shame and desperation. In that Son is your deliverance from sin and death. In that Son, God remembers the forgotten. That Son, Jesus, was forsaken on a cross so that God will never forsake you. God has remembered you. God has acted on your behalf for your eternal good in His Son, Jesus, the Christ. Now, these 40 days of Lent are always a time of remembering for us. We will remember our sins and confess them, recounting all the ways that we have wandered from God's will, rejecting His commandments, and refused to wait on Him in faith. We also remember the people and places of our Lord's passion, Judas's betrayal, Peter's denial, Pilate's placating the Jews. We will also remember Rachel's son, Joseph, how his brothers betrayed him, how his faith was challenged, and all the ways he foreshadowed God's own Son, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. But the heart of this holy season is not our remembering, but God's. God remembered Rachel. God remembered Joseph. And in His beloved Son, God remembers you. In Jesus, God is acting on your behalf. He remembers you right here and now. In the preaching of His promises, in the cleansing cry of holy absolution, in the life-giving splash of your baptism, in the bread that is His body, and in the wine that is His blood. Here, God remembers you in His Son, in the power of His Holy Spirit. Here, the power of His passion is applied to you personally. Forgiveness for your sin and deliverance from disaster, including those of our own making. Yet, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, we heard Joel say. That invitation from this great prophet always goes out on Ash Wednesday. Return to the Lord. Look to Him in faith because He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. You can hear that love in those three little words, yet even now. Those three words deliver a whole mouthful of grace. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me. Even now, even after you followed Rachel's lead and made your life into a dysfunctional debacle, even now that you've burned your bridges and hardened your heart and hurt the people that God has given you to love, God says, yet even now, it's not too late. Yet even now, He wants you back. Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Yet even now, the Lord comes. He remembers you, delivers you, rescues and saves you in His Holy Son. So tonight, you and I begin a Lenten journey with Joseph. And our journey, like Joseph's journey, begins with God remembering. So may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.